Now as Ever, Chapter 9. Where are we going? Styles asks. Away. Derek takes Styles' hand as soon as they're out of sight of the house. There's a rushed and desperate tone to Derek's voice, noticeable even in his one-word response. Styles laces their fingers together, lengthens his stride to keep up with Derek. Spring is in the air, a gentle breeze carrying with it the scent of flower blossoms and growing grass. The ground is spongy from moisture trapped in throughout the winter months, and the heavy rainfall that's come with the changing season. Styles feels as if he's sinking into it with every step he takes. He doesn't know how long they walk together in silence, but it's almost like Derek has a mission. He's determined to get somewhere, even if he hasn't said exactly what it is they're doing. So Styles goes along with it. It's late afternoon. Golden sun shining bright through the branches like a promise of warmth that isn't quite here yet. Derek stops abruptly after a while, cocking his head to the side as if he's listening for something. He turns slowly, scanning the area before his eyes meet Styles' gaze. Styles swallows hard, nervously, not sure what it is Derek hears or even if he wants to know. The forest around them seems to have gone completely quiet, only the sound of the breeze rustling through the few new leaves overhead. "What is it?" Styles whispers, almost too quietly. Derek shakes his head slowly, eyes still holding Styles' gaze. "Nothing," he says back, matching Styles' hushed tone. The corner of his mouth curves up into a half smile, and he takes a step closer. Styles' heart is hammering in his ribcage from the pace of their walk or the unknown danger. Probably both. "I just wanted to be alone with you." Derek takes another step towards Styles, fingers creeping under the hem of his shirt and hooking into Styles' waistband to tug him closer. Styles has never really had the chance to appreciate the beautiful clarity of Derek's eyes before now. He's seen them plenty of times in flashes of blue and alpha red, even in their natural human green. But now, with the sun creeping low beneath the outstretched branches and glistening in drops of dew on the leaves, refracting daylight makes the flecks of green and gray shimmer in Derek's eyes, and it all looks new, like Styles is seeing past a lifetime of hurt and anguish into something completely unobscured, fresh and exciting. Styles has to blink several times to clear his mind and focus on the present. "So there's nothing out here?" Derek shakes his head before dragging his lips along the edge of Styles' jaw. Styles tilts his chin up obligingly, inviting more contact. Derek doesn't disappoint. He noses along Styles' hairline, to that place just behind his ear, lips sticky damp from his warm breath, but not actually kissing Styles' skin, just making a path of heat and want, and Styles feels his knees go weak from it. He's being pressed back against a tree that he doesn't remember leaning into, and he thinks it must be something to do with Derek's werewolf voodoo sex magic that Styles has zero fucks to give about the rough bark scraping into his sensitive skin where his shirt rides up. Styles drags the back of Derek's t-shirt up, pressing his palm, sweaty, nervous, hot, against Derek's skin as their mouths finally meet. Styles shivers as Derek slides a hand up the front of his shirt, presses it against the spot where his heart is hammering wildly, and Styles knows Derek can feel it, feels Derek's lips smiling against his own, smug about the obvious effect he has on Styles. "You're a little bit evil," Styles murmurs against Derek's lips before darting his tongue out to taste them. He's feeling bold despite his nervousness. He's never touched anyone like this before. Never gone any further than a kiss, and this already feels like so much more. "I think you like it," Derek replies, his thumb tracing the line of Styles' jaw, pressing into the hinge of it to encourage Styles' mouth open. He kisses Styles the way they hadn't that first night, deep and hot and heavy, teeth catching and dragging against Styles' bottom lip before licking into his mouth again. Styles is tugging at Derek's shirt with no conscious direction, up or back or closer, fisting it in his hands and just wanting it off, so that he can feel the heat of Derek's body against his. Derek must get the hint because he chuckles against Styles' lips before pulling away, dragging with him a frustrated groan from Styles and pulling his shirt over his head. He tosses it to the ground beside them and starts to pull Styles up too, leaning down to kiss the newly exposed skin. Styles combs his fingers through Derek's hair, not holding him there but encouraging him. His mouth feels so good against Styles' skin. Slow slides of his lips and open-mouthed kisses that are more like he's tasting Styles, drawing the heat out of his skin and returning it in shallow, desperate puffs of breath that make Styles shiver and knead. He wonders if Derek has done this before. He thinks he probably has, if the way he's making Styles' spine melt with every touch is an indication, but he doesn't want to ask. With as little experience as Styles has himself, he at least has enough cognizant awareness to know the unwritten rule about discussing past relationships and sexual exploits while in the act itself. Styles tugs at Derek's hair, gentle but commanding, needing Derek's mouth on his again, wanting to feel him everywhere. He tips Derek's head back, sucks a mark into his skin that he knows won't last. Derek finds that spot again behind Styles' ear, mouthing at his pulse point, pressing the flat of his tongue against it, and Styles thinks that he may just hate him a little bit for that, except that he doesn't. He finds himself moaning, low and needy, pulling Derek in closer, as if that's actually possible, and parting his legs against the gentle pressure of Derek's thigh between his own. Styles is hard, throbbing, and he knows that even if Derek couldn't feel it against his leg, he'd be able to smell Styles' arousal, a thought that had always made him self-conscious before, but only turns him on more now, now that he knows Derek wants him just as much. Styles presses his fingers into Derek's skin, gripping, touching, holding, and grinds against Derek's thigh. Derek lets out a breathless grunt against Styles' neck. "I was going to ask if you're okay with this," he says, voice wrecked. "But I think you just answered that question for me." Styles slides his hand down Derek's back, squeezes Derek's ass through his jeans, pulls him in close, and repeats the motion. The friction against his achingly hard dick is so good that Styles forgets about the fact that they're outside, forgets about the scratches on his back from the tree bark, and singles his focus down to the most blinding realization in this scenario, that it's Derek he's with. Derek flattens his hands against Styles' back, one low above his belt, the other pressing between his shoulder blades. He's blocking as much of the tree's rough bark from Styles' skin as he can, taking the offending scratches himself and wincing slightly from it as he ruts against Styles. "Oh God," Styles breathes, mouth hanging open as Derek licks into the hollow at the base of his throat. "I'm about to become a teenage cliché." Derek breathes out against him, uneven and shaky, and Styles knows he must be just as close. "What do you mean?" he asks on a tremulous exhale. "I'm going to come in my pants if you keep that up." Styles doesn't even know how he manages a full sentence, let alone a coherent explanation. Derek rocks into Styles, the slow drag of his erection against Styles' hip causing both of them to moan. He reaches down between them, flicks Styles' button open with a practiced motion, then slides his zipper down. "Can't have that," he says, kissing Styles again, his tongue relentlessly teasing and tasting, slicking against Styles. Styles' hands are gripping Derek's hips, pulling him closer, harder, more. He doesn't even really know what he's doing, but it all feels so damn good. Every slide, every breath, every kiss. Styles has to force one of his hands to cooperate, to release its grip on Derek's hip and slide down the front of his jeans. He drags the back of his knuckles down Derek's fly and back up again before opening it with much less grace than Derek had just displayed. But fuck it. Derek's dick is out now, long and thick and uncut. Styles wraps his fingers around it, pulling the foreskin back with a slow stroke. He drops his forehead to Derek's shoulder, panting heavily as he takes in the sight between them. Derek's dick feels so good, heavy and hard in his hand, that Styles thinks it may have actually taken him a full minute to realize his own dick is out, too. Cool air washes over the sensitive skin, quickly chased by the heat of Derek's palm. Derek wraps his hand around both of them, pressing their cocks against one another, and Styles feels his legs go weak again. He can't drag his eyes away as a sticky bead of Derek's pre-cum smears against the head of Styles' dick. He wants to taste it, to sink to his knees and press his lips against Derek's slit, swallow him down. Derek's fingertips brush against the inside of Styles' wrist, and Styles takes that as his cue to grab onto Derek's, closing the space where Derek's fingers don't quite touch with the thickness of their dicks in his grasp. Styles could come from the sight of it alone. His fingers wrap around Derek's wrist, and he can feel the shift of bones and tendons as Derek works their cocks together. Derek's hand, hot and strong on one side, and the smooth skin of Styles' inner wrist on the other, caging them in, pressing them together. Styles comes with a groan, watching as he pulses and spills down both their dicks, adding a slickness to the friction that sends Derek over the edge quickly after. He nips at the skin of Styles' neck before kissing his lips again, slow, tender, his dick still pulsing with release. They separate, breathless and wobbly, and Styles is thanking the gods of nature or convenience or where frottage forest fun for the tree at his back that he leans his weight into. Derek still got angry red scratches all up and down his forearms where he blocked the tree bark from damaging Styles' skin. They're healing slowly, and Styles kind of wants to trace them with his tongue as they fade, sex haze still clouding his mind. It wasn't that Derek didn't ever talk. He was perfectly capable of stringing words together to form terrifying threats and condescending warnings. Sometimes his eyebrows said more than his mouth, a fact that Styles took great joy in pointing out as frequently as possible. Derek had other ways of telling his stories, though, and after a while, Styles learned that only those who cared enough to listen beyond Derek's words would really know what he was saying. It was Scott who had told Styles about Kate, not the most reliable source when he didn't know the full version of the story himself, but it didn't take much to fill in the blanks. "Scott's an idiot," Derek said, hands gripping the edge of Styles' bed as he sat hunched forward. Tension was rolling off him in waves that even Styles could feel. His breaths were shallow and quick, a sheen of sweat glistening on his skin. "Scott's my best friend, so if you want me to play the part of your reluctant nurse here, you should probably find a different topic to bitch about." "His girlfriend is the reason I'm here in the first place," Derek spat, his head turning stiffly to the side to glare at Styles over his shoulder. "Okay, well, let's just try to keep that in mind while I..." Styles pressed a palmful of wolfsbane ashes into the gaping wound on Derek's back. He allowed himself a small, sadistic smile at Derek's sharp hiss of pain. "You burned that first, right?" Derek said through clenched teeth. "You saw me burn it, dick." Derek rolled his shoulders, stiffening with pain as his skin sizzled, a violet glow radiating from the gash Allison's arrow had left. "You're not going to go after her now, are you?" "Despite what you think of me, Styles, no. I have no desire to kill a kid." "Really? Fooled the hell out of me with the way you've been using them as chew toys lately." Derek's arms tensed more, knuckles turning white as he gripped the edge of the mattress. "That's different. They wanted the bite." "And you knew the risk," Styles said, grabbing another small pile of ashes for the second tear in Derek's skin. "You should have gotten a fucking bronze service star for that." "Allison's biased. She's a hunter, and if Scott doesn't back off, it's only a matter of time before he becomes her prey. They love each other. I don't think she'd do that to him." Derek's bitter laugh startled Styles. "They're children. They don't know a thing about love. Scott needs to focus on staying alive long enough to grow up. Then maybe he'll find out." "She isn't Kate, Derek." He wasn't sure how it was even possible, but Derek's shoulders went even stiffer. Styles could see what this was now. Derek was projecting, casting his own experiences onto Scott, in an effort to keep him from making the same mistakes Derek had. Styles wanted to tell him that he knew what Kate had done, how she had fooled Derek into believing she was in love with him just to get closer to his family. They weren't friends, though, not really. and Styles knew that calling Derek out on his cryptic asshattery would only piss him off more. There, all done. Let the healing begin. Styles patted Derek's shoulder awkwardly before clambering off the bed behind him. Styles isn't sure what this thing is between them. Doesn't know if it means anything at all to Derek, or if he's just a teenager having fun. But even if that's the case, Styles thinks he deserves it. If Styles can give him that little bit of happiness for now, before everything is snatched away, he's okay with that. He knows 27-year-old Derek would have never given 17-year-old Styles a chance. Styles isn't stupid, though. He recognized little things between them, two long glances and meaningful words hidden in casual conversation, things he had convinced himself were nothing more than his imagination or wishful thinking. After what had happened between Derek and Kate, Styles is well aware of Derek's thoughts on love, and, more importantly, his thoughts on taking advantage of someone too young and naive to know any better. Styles can only hope his Derek understands. It isn't a game, and Styles may only be 17, but he's lived a life most adults would run from in fear. He's seen things, experienced things no normal 17-year-old could imagine. And that isn't just including supernatural. If his Derek won't give Styles the chance to prove he can be trusted, that he's capable of caring about him despite his age, maybe this version of him will. Styles feels a small amount of guilt, like he's taking advantage of something fragile, but he doesn't want it to stop. He thinks Derek may need him as much as he needs Derek, and maybe that's okay. He knows Derek cares about him, all of him, because while he's been trying to keep the two versions separate, he's come to realize that here in 2003, there in 2013, Derek is the same person. The past makes someone who they are, teaches them, and whether it's a good lesson or one they'd rather do without, they're meant to learn from it. It'll always be a part of who they are. He hopes that this is real, hopes that future Derek is aware of what's happening now, even if it's buried in some hidden place in his mind. He wants to believe Derek will hold on to these memories, that if he's thinking of Styles at all right now, it's with a fondness that wouldn't have been possible before. Styles wants Derek to miss him the way he misses Derek, but he doesn't want him to hurt because of it, not because of Styles. There's already enough hurt in Derek's future. Styles doesn't want to be part of that memory. Derek touches Styles more frequently now since that day in the woods. If there's skin visible, Derek's hand is on it, fingers tracing the veins of Styles' wrist, the flat of his palm against the side of Styles' neck, like it's important for him to feel the life there, Styles' heartbeat pulsing through his skin. He only does it when they're alone, but they both know everyone is aware. Styles doesn't have to have werewolf senses to know he smells even more like Derek now. Like kisses and warmth and want. It's an embarrassing realization, especially when Laura gives them that look. What about that one? Styles gestures towards a dark-haired man at the end of the counter. Derek furrows his brow, staring intently, but then shrugs one shoulder and drops his gaze back to his food. I can't tell, he says, picking up a French fry and swirling it around in his ketchup. Oh, come on, Styles says, dropping his tone to a barely audible whisper as he leans forward over the table. Even if you aren't using any wolfy senses at all, you should still have some level of human intuition. Derek looks again, past Styles and to the man at the end of the counter. They've been at it for over an hour now, this little game Styles is trying to use to Derek's advantage. The diner is mostly deserted, and Styles had figured that if by chance someone he knows sees him, then 10 years from now, that memory will be a blip of déjà vu, a strange sense of recognition that they can't place before shaking it off. He sips his coffee and waits. Derek shakes his head again, frustration evident in his jerky movement. How am I supposed to tell if someone's bad or good just by looking at them? You can't, Styles says, but that isn't the point. The point is you need to try. He can't tell Derek about all the things that have happened to him, or how a lot of them could have been avoided if he'd just taken the time to dig a little deeper, instead of trusting so blindly. He can't tell Derek how many times he's seen him on the brink of death, or how Styles feels it scratching away at something deep inside him each time, leaving indelible marks. Derek spends every Sunday with his family, learning what it means to be part of a pack, honing certain instincts, practicing self-defense, and hoping they never have to use it. He could definitely benefit from learning more about human instincts, too. This isn't really anything but judging people based on how they look. Derek is completely uncooperative. Not necessarily. It's mostly in their eyes, Stiles tells him. Sometimes you just get a feeling, but more often than not, you can read a person's intentions just by looking into their eyes. Derek gives Stiles his patented, whatever you say, look, and then glances back at the man. Bad? He says, with a hint of question at the end. No. Mr. Ripley is a longtime resident of Beacon Hills. He and his wife had lost their son right around the same time Stiles' mom died. Ever since then, the couple has put all of their time and money into various fundraising events and charity organizations all over the state of California. Their server comes back over to clear the plates and refill their coffee. She asks if she can get them anything else, tries to talk them into pie, then smiles sweetly before heading back to the counter to check on Mr. Ripley. Stiles doesn't know her in his future, but he and Derek had already decided she must be good. A gust of wind rushes inside as another diner patron opens the door. Derek's eyes widen in surprise, and Stiles barely resists the urge to turn and look over his shoulder. Bad, Derek says. Very bad. He ducks his head and turns away, but it's no use. The diner is really small, and there are only a handful of people here today. Hard to miss them with nowhere to hide. Stiles can almost sense her presence, his skin prickling as he tries not to flinch away when she approaches. Hi, Derek, Kate says. She's got a hand on their table, leaning into it with her back to Stiles in a clear effort to block him out completely. Kate, Derek says curtly. I wondered why I haven't been seeing you at the coffee shop lately. Do they make it better here? Stiles really wants to stick his fork in her hand. He pokes at the tines while he considers it. I've just been busy. Family stuff, you know? Ah, right. Kate taps her fingers on the table as she stands up straight. How is the family? Stiles' jaw clenches and he has to force himself to set his fork down. They're fine, thank you, Derek replies, ever the polite guy his mom raised him to be. Good. Listen, I'm going away for school soon. Kind of a late start, but I figured I can't work at a coffee shop forever. I've been wondering if maybe we could go out sometime before I leave. There's a movie coming out this weekend, Dreamcatcher, and I was thinking, did it completely escape your attention that I'm with someone? Derek says shortly. Stiles is sort of proud of him, even if he'd rather not draw Kate's attention at all. She glances over her shoulder at him briefly before looking back at Derek. Oh, she says. Sorry, I didn't realize. Her tone is noticeably bitter now. I'll try to catch you when you're alone, then, she says. Very fucking bad, Stiles confirms after she's walked away. They leave the diner in a hurry after that, handing what's probably way too much money to their server as they exit. You have to admit, Derek says as they walk down the street toward Deaton's clinic. She is pretty hot. Isn't that like judging based on appearance, Derek? Stiles says, throwing Derek's words from earlier back at him. Besides, Stiles makes a gesture toward himself. What about all this? What, were you jealous? Derek asks. That isn't... He shakes his head, looking over at Stiles questioningly. That's not why you hate her so much, is it? No, I mean, maybe a little. But there's a much bigger reason for you to stay away from her. There are questions Stiles just can't answer. Not about the future, but about how exactly it is he's found himself here in 2003. It isn't easy having only a small number of the answers they're all looking for. But even more frustrating for Stiles is his inability to discuss the possibilities with Derek. He knows Derek isn't stupid by any means, but Stiles is not a teacher, and he's certainly not a physicist. So it takes him a while to convince himself that it's okay to give Derek the information he's been offered about his situation. Tell him everything Deaton said about space-time continuums and the different dimensions that make up the universe as a whole. It doesn't matter that Derek's family is all around. It's no secret that Stiles doesn't belong here in this space of time. He doesn't care if they overhear. He's oddly proud to note that Derek gets it. He understands everything Stiles tells him, even without Deaton there to help guide the conversation. They're sitting in the grass in Derek's front yard, and Stiles doesn't have the use of magnets to demonstrate the way Deaton had, but they do have a small piece of string. So, it's basically an anchor, right? Something at the other end of your particular string that holds you there while you move through time. Stiles nods, and Derek toys with a string of twine in his hand. If I'm believing that theory, Stiles says, leaning back against a tree and picking idly at the grass, then it could be anything. Any significant or not so significant time in history that has nothing to do with me directly. The strings interact with each other through vibration, Derek says, probably more to himself than Stiles, but Stiles nods anyway. It could be a time, a place, an event, even a person, but there are so many of these strings stretched out at every angle throughout time that there's no telling where mine begins or ends. And if we can't figure it out, Derek stretches the string between his fingers, wraps it around to hold it tight, and then plucks it just once. Stiles stares at the piece of twine as it vibrates and stills again. It could potentially be looped around, sending you back to where you belong. Stiles leans forward, swipes one end of the string from Derek's hand, and holds it taut. Or, he says, we could end up vibrating that particular string to the point where it crosses paths with another, and then I'd end up somewhere else. Derek wraps his end of the string around Stiles' wrist, stealing the other end from between his fingers and looping it loosely around twice before tying the ends together. I think you're counting on failure before anyone's even had the chance to try. Look, Derek! Sam shouts excitedly. Derek and Stiles both turn to follow the direction of his voice. The boy, as always, has a pillowcase tied around his neck, but rather than pretending to fly as he springboards off couch cushions, this time he's just dangling upside down from a low tree branch. Derek laughs. Good job, buddy, he tells his little brother. What kind of superhero hangs upside down from trees? Their mom asks from where she's watching on the front porch between Grandma and Laura. I'm a vampire today, Sam declares. A vampire? Asks Mrs. Hale. No, that's just silly. Oh, sure, Grandma Iris says. Werewolves are real, but vampires are a silly notion. She snorts with laughter before going back to her cross-stitch. Stiles looks down at the string around his wrist, decides to leave it there as a sort of reminder for now. A reminder that he shouldn't give up before he's begun, but also as a way to show him that the past is linked to the future, even if it's just little things like 5-year-old boys in pillowcase capes, a big family that Stiles had always wanted but never had the fortune of having, or sunny afternoons outside in the grass.